The expert system awaited whatever instruction would follow the authorization signal. Does this work? Fit no protocol. But its natural language processing was up to the task of interpreting it. It must mean, did the expert system receive that authorization, and can it receive keyboard input?
At your service.
Both humans stopped in the way that humans did when presented with novel or unexpected data.
What was that?
That was the one who had not transmitted the authorization code. The expert waited for the other to reassure her, meanwhile retrieving a complete suit readout indicating fatigue toxins and mild hypothermia. It instructed the suit to warm up a bit and increase oxygen flow. Meanwhile, the other, without speaking, was tapping rapidly on the keyboard of her hand comp. The expert was able to interpret, despite errors in input, that she knew she was communicating with an expert system.
The system will take over vocal communication.
All correct.
Brunn hoped Hazel would understand that the expert was going to relay from her own keyed input.
There are vocal synthesizers of more power and suitability in Laboratory 121. Although major equipment was destroyed, my optical sensors report that some of the small synthesizers seem to be unbroken. Can you guide us there? Easily, but I have instead empowered a mobile unit to fetch them. Spacecraft approach. My analysis suggests that they are upcoming from the surface. Plan. Data. Non-enemy spacecraft in system. Too far away.
Non-enemy? Fleet?
Can you contact them? Transmitters non-functional. Estimated time to restore transmission capability? 243 standard seconds. What are the parameters?
How could we know fleet frequencies and codes?
Brunn smiled to herself. She knew. One after another, she entered the figures, carefully defining each. Frequencies, frequency changes with intervals, identification codes, including the one she had been given once as her personal ID. Then, with great care, she entered the message she wanted to send. Her eyes kept blurring, but she blinked the tears back fiercely.
There is time enough to cry if I get Hazel to safety and the children, but one thing at a time.
These frequencies and codes are not those in my library for the regular space service of the Familius Regnant. Check date. Codes change. It has been a very long time. I assumed the date was an error resulting from damage done when the station was overrun.
Some expert systems were complex enough to lose themselves in endless recursive self-examination.
Time to intruder arrival. Transmitter function. 97 seconds until transmitter's functional. I will send your message as soon as confirmed. There is a high probability that non-target vessels may be able to intercept the message. You have provided no cipher.
They already suspect we're here. And if the militia know we're here, it's better that Fleet knows it too. I suppose, Brunn, it's because of your father.
All correct.
Brunn really did want a better voice synthesizer. Her fingers were already tired, but she had a lot more to say.
ETA of intruder shuttles from the planet now ranges from 1 hour 10 minutes to 3 hours 1 minute. Unless they change course, which they have the capacity to do. Now, 3 shuttles apparently approaching from the planet.
3 shuttles? Why do they think they need 4 shuttles to capture 2 women? Are they coming out to fight Fleet with shuttles? Surely they aren't that stupid.
Weapons discharge. Nearby ship, identifying itself as militia cruiser Yellow Rose, launched missiles at Fleet vessel of unknown type.
The enemy shuttle had been run right into the gaping hole in one arm of the station. No doubt the militia knew what was open and what wasn't, assuming they were the ones who'd made it a derelict. If they'd been in a regular warship, Esme would have lobbed a missile into that bay and blown the shuttle first off. But an SAR shuttle did not normally venture into hostile territory. It mounted no external weapons, and they had had no time to improvise. With that in mind, Esme kept the length of the station between her shuttle and the enemy's, and snugged in under one of the power panels at the far end. They dared not blow a hole in the derelict's hull. Brunn and her companion might be hiding behind that piece of hull. Moreover, it would take at least 4 hours to rig one of the portable airlocks and carefully incise a new hole in the station hull. So the teams would have to insert through a known entrance, which all concerned knew was the best way to make a target of themselves. The best they could hope for was that the militia intruders weren't already in place. The neuro-enhanced squad didn't seem too worried. Esme, waiting near the tail of the line, saw the bulky figures pause at the emergency lock and then move in, far faster than she had expected. Perhaps this meant the station had no air pressure.
Lieutenant, the artificial gravity's on.
That shouldn't be. The station's a derelict.
But Esme could feel through her own body the tug of a gravity generator, which meant a sizable power source, more than could be accounted for by the tattered, misaligned power panels.
Is there air? Did Brunn turn things on?
Esme shook those questions off. What mattered now was getting in. If there was gravity, then the fighting would not favor the zero-G trained. Inside, they were met with the chaotic remnant of systematic vandalism, all visible under ordinary ceiling panel lights. Pea suits cluttered the corridor, all turquoise with a blue sky logo and code number on the back. Someone had drawn 5-pointed stars and other curious symbols on the corridor bulkhead in brown pigment. Or blood. The tank locker beside the suit locker was empty of breathing tanks. Air pressure was close to vacuum.
But why is there any pressure at all? Why are the lights on?
Esme tried a cautious hail on the frequency Kutsudis had given as that of Brunn's transmission. No reply.